On the Ground is produced by the Global NGO Executive Committee, a storied nonprofit that has for 60 years partnered with the United Nations to guarantee a voice at the decision-making table for civil society leaders. GNEC offers services to more than 1,600 UN-vetted global NGOs, which are on the front lines of tackling the most pressing issues of our time. I'm Adrienne Berg, a member of the NGO Committee on Aging New York, and the host of On the Ground. I am thrilled today because I'm interviewing our executive director of Light Up Foundation. You'll find that at lightupfoundation.org, Olashobomi Iginla Aina. And I'm going to be calling her Ola. And I'm so excited because this is a real example of why we started this show. Even if she was not part of GNEC and a director of GNEC, Ola would be an example for all the NGOs of the world and for civil society, of what really is working. And she is the founder of this organization. So, Ola, thank you so much for being with us today. And let's just get off right off the bat a description and the mission of the Light Up Foundation.
Yeah, thank you so much today, Adrienne, for having me here on your show. Yes, I'm so pleased to be here.
Our pleasure.
Yeah, to start with, it's a new year. Maybe I should say Happy New Year. It's never too late to say that in January. And going back to the question, Light Up Foundation. Light Up Foundation was established in 2000. It is an international organization with a special consultative status with the UN ECOSOC and is also associated with the United Nations Department for Global Communications. Light Up is registered as a charity in the UK, in Nigeria, in Scotland, because we work in different countries. And the Light Up seeks to encourage youth and community development through volunteering and capacity building projects that we offer. Our aim is to inspire and empower young people to become proactive in creating positive change and making a positive impact in their various communities.
Well, I do want to tell everybody they've got to go to the website. They must go to Light Up because there is a very brief 12-minute video there. And that video shows the children themselves, the youth themselves, talking about what this has done for their lives. This is a major asset for everybody to see and also one of the things that's working. You do document things in video and in photographs. All right. Sorry to interrupt, but an important and very vibrant part of Light Up Foundation is how you're helping people understand what it is. Yes. Now, with regard to Light Up, let's go back to some of the projects that you're doing now. And one of the things that I'd love you to emphasize is the Bag of Hope, which you even got into the Guinness Book of World Records.
Wow. Where do I start from? Light Up actually broke a world record in 2015 using the Bag of Hope project. The Bag of Hope is being used to project the UN rights of the child. Let me first tell you what the Bag of Hope itself is, B-O-H, the bowl. We decided that we wanted to do something that would excite young people and at the same time achieve goals that would make impact in their lives. So we want to use one stone to kill two birds. So we decided that perhaps if we break a world record and get the young people to break this world record while we are using it to inform them about their rights, we may be able to succeed in reaching them. So the Bag of Hope, we designed a big Bag of Hope. And the record was broken in Nigeria, Africa. A lot of young people in school and out of school were there. There was a sewing that took place over 2 days. And after sewing the bag, there were a lot of pictures taken by young people, and we were resonating the rights of the child. What their rights, we had exercises and we had sessions where we would talk about the rights of the child. So after this bag came to life and was adjudicated by the Guinness World Record, as the largest canvas bag in the world. So we decided that we're going to take it from country to country. It was very, very difficult to take a very, very massive.
Yes. And now you want to make a sequin bag, and you're going to have another world record. It's going to be even harder. So now you're dragging this bag from country to country, and what happens?
No, we had to take the handle of the bag. Just one handle was so heavy. So it was the handle that went to different countries, not the main bag. There was a brochure that talks about the bag, the pictures and everything was there. So we took the brochures to schools, to different countries. We took the brochures, the bag to Togo, Benin Republic, Ghana. It went to Cameroon. It went to Uganda. We had the Bag of Hope in Scotland, in England, in France. So we target is to reach 30 different countries. And then while we were going around, we were also encouraging the young people to decorate the bag. We were giving them patches. And each school will have a patch and then sequins. And then we had glue donated by UHU Gum. So they were decorating in different schools, had different colors of sequins to decorate the bag. And while they were doing that, we were teaching them the rights of the child from number one. We would talk about it. We gave them documents. We gave them bookmarks that they can use to remember the rights of the child. And we would do something very peculiar. For each country, we try to research on the problem that young people are facing in that country. And so when we get there, we emphasize the particular rights that talks about this particular hill or this particular problem young people are facing in that country where we are. For example, when we were going to Nigeria, we were talking about the rights. You have a right not to be kidnapped. And we also talked about you have a right not to be abused as a child. So we emphasize those ones because we realize that sometimes some African countries, when it comes to corporal punishment or when it's time to correct a child, sometimes it's not done proportionally. And so we try to use that opportunity to say that you have a right not to be abused in the name of being corrected for any particular wrong that you have committed.
And I understand, Ola, that a lot of the children did come up and they did say they suffered from abuse and they did learn to speak up from this project. So it was not just arts and crafts or a Guinness Book of World Records, but it was a real statement of what's working.
From countries to countries, we had children who expressed their views. Even in England, we had young people who reported some issues that they were confronted with, and we had to report immediately to the school that you need to help us with this child. This is what this child has said. This is what that child has said. And most importantly, we also emphasized Article 42. I have a right to know my right. That we took to every country irrespective of the problem that young people are faced with in that country. So the right to know your right is like a mother and a father right of all the other rights.
Yes, it's the commandments. And I will tell you that what breakthroughs that you're creating, and even the United Nations Art Ambassador has endorsed this, because in addition to all this, on top of it all, it's a work of art. Please do go to Light Up Foundation. There's an opportunity there to be a volunteer. There's an opportunity to give money. There's an opportunity to share ideas. Now, when we come back, I want to talk to Ola, the director and the founder, the original executive director and founder of Lighthouse Foundation, about her latest project. We're going to speak about many other ongoing projects, but the latest one has to do with something that is consistently on her mind, and that is irregular migration, particularly in youth and particularly in Africa. And if you don't know what irregular migration means, you're going to learn about it in just a moment. Don't you guys go anywhere. And now, news you can use. I recently went to the United Nations in New York City, and many of you know that I work with the UN in a variety of different ways. Now, I recently visited the United Nations to celebrate the International Day of Older Persons. We call it UNIDAP. a United Nations working group will report on a treaty for the human rights of older persons in March of 2024. Join advocacy groups like NGO Committee on Aging, International Federation on Aging, and many, many others. Well, we are now back, and we're back with one of the directors at GNEC itself, also the founder and executive director of LightUpFoundation.org. Her mission is very driven toward the youth of this country and every country in which she works, and there are many. One of the things she's accomplished is to get the attention, not just of donors, but of the youth themselves, with a huge amount of participation. And even in England, a couple of community newspapers that are run and for the individual children that live there so they can get a better relationship with their own community. Her name is Ola Shobomi Iginla Aina. And we call her Ola for obvious reasons. Now, let's talk, Ola, about this issue that is so close to your heart right now, and that is irregular migration issue. Define it for us. And what's the plan for attacking it?
Yeah, thank you very much, Adrian. Yeah, the CAA mission is creating awareness and alternative mission. CAA mission. Yes, and it all has to do with the issue, the global menace of irregular migration. This is a problem that virtually most countries in the Western world is faced with, and other countries cut across the world. A lot of African young people have been migrating. This has been happening from year to year, but it is seriously on the increase now, and it becomes a matter of urgency because of the death toll that has been recorded so far in recent time. How I got into this project, I was invited to make the opening speech at an event in Spain. That's the United Nations Association of Spain invited me to do their opening speech. And when I got there, I went there with a mind to investigate a bit about the Melilla killing that took place in Spain, and that caused a lot of Spanish people to be on the streets campaigning and creating awareness on why this killing shouldn't happen again. About 37 thereabout young people were killed at the border town that links up with Morocco. The security guards for Morocco and Spanish security guards were trying to stop them, and there was a lot of conflict and a lot of clash. So while I started investigating, I spoke to the president of UNICEF. I spoke to some of the civil society organizations in Spain wanting to know, so what, can you tell me more about the findings on this killing? I wanted to know. So they told me just exactly what I told you, that there is really not much at that time, but this is what we have heard. Just the same thing I've heard, they heard. But there has not been an official report at the time I was in Spain. So I was invited by the Catalonia government to a meeting where the Spanish press dominated the meeting. It was like a press conference, and was like a proper meeting where UNICEF was going to be signing an agreement with the Catalonian government to say that they would take care of the well-being of the African youths that are migrating to Catalonia. And because they are taking note that a lot of these young people develop post-traumatic stress disorder, even after they manage to make it to Spain and to Catalonia and other Western countries. Most of them die in the Red Sea. The ones that make it eventually develop issues mentally. So I happen to be the only African person in this meeting. This is a meeting where UNICEF was going to be signing an agreement to support the youth of Africa. I felt something was wrong, that we probably have left the matter of our youth
we have left it in the hands of other governments for so long, and somebody needs to do something about it. So I immediately started to get engaged with the UNICEF president, get engaged with civil society organizations, especially the United Nations Association of Spain, that we need to go into collaboration. We need to investigate further how we can help these young people. And then we came up with this idea that perhaps they don't have to get to the border at all. We can stop them before getting to the border. We can stop them from migrating. We can help them in Africa. So we decided that perhaps when we, maybe if we migrate into Africa to create a resounding awareness, massive awareness, and show these young people the stories of young people who had taken this risk, how they died, and whatever problem they are faced with, if we are able to show these young people, then it becomes a song on everybody's tongue.
Lips. People, yes, yes.
It becomes, it resonates everywhere. Even we want a situation whereby the press of each country in Africa where we visit would be able to collaborate with us, and then it becomes a song in the morning, a message in the afternoon, another poem at night, just something about irregular migration, telling people the dangers that confronts them if they embark on this irregular journey. So we felt that it was a good way to stop them from migrating. But while we are going to be doing that, it's also important to understand that young people don't migrate for migrating sake. They are migrating because they feel that there are not enough opportunities for them in their country. That's why they are looking for the so-called greener pastures.
Yes.
So we now need to look for what they refer to as greener pastures, bring it to them wherever they are, to entice them that, look, we are aware of this situation and we are in it together with you. So you don't need to travel to America irregularly. You don't need to go to Spain irregularly. What you are looking for in Spain can be created here in Zimbabwe, in Gambia, in Nigeria. So this is the whole object. This is what we now decided we're going to be doing. So we started to contact the various governments of Africa. We started knocking at doors of companies to say, look here, we need help. Even if it is 10 young people you can employ, we just need opportunities, skill acquisition opportunities, job opportunities, internship opportunities, all sorts of opportunities that will empower our young people. We got Gonzalez cars said to us that yes, they will be happy to go with us from country to country. They are zero emission cars. And guess what? In 2035, there is a target for EU countries to use zero emission cars. So that means a big market for electric cars from 2035. So if we get our African youth involved in the production and servicing of these electric cars, if they are aware and they have the knowledge of how they can build cars and service it, then we would have been able to empower them. So rather than allowing them to just go and die in the Mediterranean Sea, because the Mediterranean Sea is now referred to as the African graveyard. It wow. is that bad. I was alarmed by what I heard. In fact, I spoke to one of our young people, and he said that his name, Lamin, from Gambia. And he said that he faced near-death experience about 26 times thereabout. So I was
just
like,
so that he could escape and create an opportunity for himself.
And he said to me that the journey is such that immediately you start, there is no going back. Because going back would mean that the near-death experience you had 10 minutes ago, 10 days ago, you are faced with it again. So the only thing they do is immediately you start this journey, you must continue. So he managed to share the experience he had on his way to Catalonia, that he managed to share it with someone who was about to leave Gambia on the phone.
And that person did not leave.
And immediately the guy said, I would rather die in Gambia than to face what you face. I now told him, I said, exactly what you have done to one person is what we want to use CAA mission to do with millions of our young people. We want to tell your stories and the stories of others, how bad it is to expose yourself to such high risk.
And of course, when you're dealing with young people, they have very great difficulty imagining their own death. They have great difficulty seeing themselves as vulnerable. All they see is that they don't have enough to eat, or they have no education, or they need to move to a place where there are opportunities. So I want everybody, I need to tell everybody, Ola, this is a show, a particular show for a reason. And the show is to help people do what you're doing. And that is within their own mission, whatever their object is. You see how she does it. She does it by becoming impassioned about something, by being in the middle of it, by seeing what's wrong, and then by coming up with some practical ideas about what to do. What is practical? Get people more jobs at home. That's practical. And once you put that package together, you can't lose. Now, we're going to come back in just a moment. We're going to take a little bit of a break, come back in just a moment. And now I want to talk a little bit about a tough subject for most people, and that is fundraising and volunteerism. One of the great strengths of a Light Up Foundation, and Ola herself, is she knows how to fundraise, and she knows how to get people to participate. So when we come back, I'm going to ask a little bit, Ola, I know this is a surprise to you because we didn't plan this, about how you do your fundraising and how you do your volunteer outreach. Don't you guys go anywhere. And now, news you can use. News you can use is that there is a new prize in town. It started only a couple of years ago by an NGO, and it's called the Earth Prize. And you can take a look at theearthprize.org. I had the privilege of being in Los Angeles for the celebration called Gratitude of the Earth Prize. And we will be having the mentors of the teens that come up with special solutions to difficult earth and environmental problems on our show. And we're always looking for really interesting NGOs that are doing something that they can share, not only their own story, but as we're hearing on the show today, how you can use what they've learned. So take a look at theearthprize.org. I was blown away by these teenagers that created things like a way to save water in laundry. When you do the laundry, like creating plastic from watermelon seeds. Yes, you heard that correctly. And so much more. One of the things I did not know was that 60% of food waste does not come from retail stores and what we don't eat. It comes from disease on the farm. And so one of the groups, one of the winners of the Earth Prize, created a way to early detect insect disease so that it can more quickly, be taken care of. And this is making a huge difference to farmers actually all over the world. So you can be inspired by these folks. That's the Earth Prize. Well, we are back in this fascinating conversation. You just heard about irregular migration. And if you go to Light Up Foundation, you'll see an opportunity right on the website to express your interest in this. And I assure you that if you do that, Ola knows exactly what to do with you and your talents. And she even breaks out volunteerism into giving your time, giving your money, or even becoming a professional. Tell us a little bit about how you use volunteers and light us up a little bit about being a volunteer.
Yeah, thank you so much again, Adrian. Yeah, we always knock at people's door to say we need volunteers. Volunteers are so essential to our duties, carrying out our duties successfully, because, you know, as non-governmental organizations, we always need to depend on fundraising and other means to be able to carry out our services. So volunteers are very, very important to us.
And we encourage people to join us. If you want to volunteer with Light Up Foundation, it's all you need to do is just go to our website and you see the icon where it says to volunteer. Then you can click on that and then just quickly fill in your form and send us your CV. Or you can also send your CV to admin@lightupfoundation.org.
Put that in the show notes, Ola, when we post this on all of the disseminators. There's show notes, and that your URL for the foundation and this email will both be there. So if you didn't have a pencil or paper, everybody listening, don't worry about it. Just make sure you listen to the show. And on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts, Google, anyone, and you will see this all written out for you.
We currently need volunteers, especially with the CAA mission. We need professionals that have skills that are happy to share their skills with young people. We need opportunities for volunteers who specialize in working on international projects, people who can travel and help us to make impact. So if you can travel, please, we need you. And we also need financial volunteers, especially now that everything is crunching. Even if it is $1 a month, even if it is £1.50, we really need your support, because you never can tell what that money will do, especially now that there is so much happening around the world. There is a lot of migration taking place, and it's a lot of them are irregular, because some of these people are displaced because they are not even aware that they would lose their homes in the first place. And now that they have lost their home, they need your support.
In addition to her great volunteer programs and her ability to tap some of the great skills that we have, and my complaint that there are thousands of retirees who have great skills and don't know what to do with their time, here's something you can do with your time. That's my pitch, Ola, because really we have a world of help out there that doesn't know how to give that help. And you make it very easy. But there are also important to help the NGOs listening to us right now about your fundraising efforts. And I noticed, and I was impressed, and I'll tell you that now, that you've gotten some lottery money from some of your other of your endeavors. Tell us about that. How do you make that happen?
Oh, yeah. Usually, we apply for funding from big lottery funds and other agencies that fund projects for non-governmental organizations. And usually, they come with their rules and regulations. Some of these funds come with restrictions of border restrictions where you can spend the money. So if, for example, let me give you an example of big lottery funds. Most of the funds we get from them are usually for work within the UK. And so whatever we get there, we spend it on projects that we need to do within the UK. So for Africa project, we have a number of donors that always support our projects. We recruit donors. We contact them when there is a need to fundraise as a matter of urgency. And then we get funding from such people who believe in what we are doing. For example, during the Ukraine war, we had to do a lot of fundraising. We moved into Ukraine to evacuate the orphans at Ukraine, and that was an emergency. That we didn't have funding for that before we commenced the project. But Light Up, we have a value statement that to protect life first, irrespective of the circumstance. So we moved into Ukraine, even though we didn't have as much. While we moved, some of our team are busy doing online fundraising and creating awareness on what we are in Ukraine doing. So by the time we did the evacuation, we were able to come out to provide more information on what has been done and what needs to be, what other things we need to do. And then we got some people come in to assist us to donate. And we, during that same war, at the beginning of the war, we moved to Hungary, Poland, Slovakia, Romania, Germany, and we had different assignments from place to place. For example, in Slovakia, when we were going to raise funds, we had to call in the press, we had to engage with the press, and that we had to link up the press with those people who were doing the work actively on site in Slovakia, helping the young people that fleeing the war. We had to quickly raise funds for them. We were doing a lot of TV interviews, showing where these young people are and asking the people coordinating them to speak along with us at such interviews. And then we're able to raise thousands of euros to support these young people, which was donated directly to the organizations that were taking care of them. In Germany, we did another kind of work. We were advocating for the travel documents of some of the who had their papers seized from them, which was not something palatable at all, because these are young people that are already distressed.
The papers are confiscated.
And then the police are now arresting and collecting their papers. We had to make a lot of noise. By the grace of God, we're able to retrieve all these documents for them. And then they also got relocated from the cabin shelter that was provided into a proper hotel.
A lot of good work was done. And I have to bring out a couple of things here. The name of the show is On the Ground. And what I can say for the fundraising part of it is that, particularly with the Ukraine, which was an emergency situation, Light Up Foundation did not stand on ceremony. They did not go out and fundraise first. They started their work and simultaneously was on that phone. Second thing that we see here as a model is that they use the press. They use the media, particularly in certain areas where the media is very responsive and the people that could donate may not know what's going on. And they expose what's going on. People see it and they begin to be willing to donate. So these are some of the practical considerations, what we would call the takeaways from this extremely successful organization, Light Up Foundation, and its executive director. So, you know, we come to the end of the show with someone like Ola and we say, boy, we need another 3 hours here because we're learning. We're learning every minute that we speak. So what I'm going to do right now is going to take a little break, come back, and ask Ola just one question, which I did tell her I was going to ask. And that is, if you could wave a magic wand and you would accomplish something in your mission, what would it be? We'll be back. Don't you guys go anywhere. And now some news you can use. Did you know that you can create a course and that course can be posted free of charge? They do all of the work on the GNIC course outlines. Yes, it can. So if you are an NGO that has a special technique for strategy, for fundraising, for staffing, for getting your constituents to take part, something else that is really working for you, that you think can be a model for other NGOs, you can create a course. And not only create that course, but you can have it posted for the almost 2,000 NGOs represented by GNIC. Now, how do you do that? Very simple. You go to gnic.ngo, gnic.ngo, and you take a look at the services that GNIC offers you as a member. They include almost 40,000 courses that can be useful to you or your constituents in many areas of learning, but also offer you a platform to put on your own course. And we are back, and we're here with Ola. You know that by now, if you've been listening, fascinated as I have, she's a woman of many parts. She is the executive director of the Light Up Foundation and its original founder. Very accomplished. We've learned a lot. But I did want to ask her, if she could wave a magic wand, what would be the one thing that she would still like to accomplish that's out there? And we're hoping that in May, you guys will all be in Nairobi at a civil society conference, which is one of the things I think she'd like to wave a magic wand and have all the details set. So you can tell us about your one magical wish and the practical, which is let's meet at a conference. Take it away, Yola.
Yeah, we are all excited about the UN Civil Society Conference that is taking place for the first time in Africa. That is Nairobi, Kenya. And I use this opportunity to invite you guys, all the NGOs, please come on board. Currently, as I'm speaking, we have just one more day for nominations to close for those who want to join the subcommittees. GNEC has been sharing information about this, and GNEC will be going powerfully to Kenya, Nairobi, to showcase the CAA mission. You know what? For example, you're going to visit a king. You should hold a present for that king. That is an aphorism in Africa. So when we are going somewhere, when we're going to Africa, we are not just going empty-handed. We need to understand what the problem of Africa is, and we need to take along the solution to that problem. And that is what CAA mission is. The indigenous problem of Africa, as we speak now, is youth-related, and a lot of which has to do with irregular migration due to lack of opportunities in some of the countries in Africa. So CAA mission is a project that responds directly to this issue of irregular migration. A lot of young people are dying in the Mediterranean Sea. We don't want to continue to see that, because GNEC is a partner of the CAA mission, a major partner. We are optimistic that the GNEC is going to be really doing a lot with the CAA mission at Nairobi, Kenya. So, and then there will also be hackathon. For the GNEC hackathon will be taking place in Nairobi, Kenya as well. So there's so much we have in Nairobi, Kenya for everyone. And fingers crossed, we are going to have a fantastic program from May 9th to 10th of 2024. So we look forward to seeing you there.
And is that the magic wand, that it all comes out beautifully and you have so many people there that you have to have ancillary conference rooms for everybody?
Yes, yes, yes. We fingers crossed. It's at the initial stage now where everything is coming together. So I'm unable to really give too much detail at this stage, but hopefully by next month, things would have started forming, so we are able to relate more information about what Light Up CAA mission will be doing at Nairobi, Kenya, what the GNEC has for all the civil society organizations that will be attending.
Well, fantastic. And you know, as always, we will be able to report both, if you give us the information, in February, March, and April for the May conference. So I thank you so much. This has been one of the most enlightening of all of our programs, one of the most inspiring as well. And as we always say to everybody here, remember, this is your show. This is your show. Use it and let us know what you would like to hear about on the ground. And you know how I end every single show. Get out there, kids, and make it happen. This is Adrienne Berg saying goodbye for now from On the Ground. See you soon.